Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Monday edition back home in DFW, 11th floor studios here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And we got the entire morning crew with us, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back, and we are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. What, Bobby?
Nothing. I'm just finding that we come back from California and like all 4/4 inches are now missing in this studio. So that's what I was finding.
Well, do you have one?
I think so. This thing's loud though.
Yeah. Carry your own stuff.
You won't have to worry about it. This is like half my stuff that exists in the studio and then disappears. So like these headphones and those headphones and all the 1/4 inches that were in here were mine because we don't get them supplied. So.
Well, definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing over and over. Keeping in your backpack. How did everyone survive that drive in as we've been scattering here in the last 2 minutes before the red light went on?
Yeah, the drive was fine. Like there wasn't really raining at all. But people are just sliding all over the place.
So you didn't have like rain and a downpour near you.
I didn't even turn the wipers on. Oh. But I guess it had already rained, and there was like these massive puddles where you're driving up, and all of a sudden your car goes from 86 to 40 within feet just because you run right into the puddle.
I don't know where you were driving from because we generally go the same way. And I ran into a ton of rain, and we arrived here at the same time. So I don't know where you were driving.
Well, maybe I wasn't paying attention.
I saw plenty of accidents. It's
That's
never
very
good.
Possible.
It's never good when two different times on the highway I see headlights on my side, where there are people like who have gotten in a wreck and they've ended up faced the wrong way, and that was two different stretches of road. And then we're driving in. I got in here at the same time as Chop did. There's just there's a homeless guy standing in the street back here, and Choppy like and I mean literally right in the middle of the road, like if you were not had your head up and looked, you would have just hit him. He's just standing there and not moving, and that was very, very close for both of us.
I did not see him.
I was on McKinney.
Okay.
It was on McKinney. He was right there. He was on the right hash.
I was like, why did Choppy just swerve? Oh, that's why
because Rima said someone's sleeping in the garage.
Yeah,
is it him leaving?
No, nope, different guy.
Which girl. Doesn't it doesn't surprise me. It's pouring rain, people are just looking to get out from under it. But man, when I saw him swerve, I was like, why is he swerving? There's nothing. And then I was like, oh, that's why, there's a person standing there.
Well, it was definitely out east. I thought I was gonna be dealing with hail while driving in the lightning show. I was getting text messages from buddies. Cool. Like, are you serious? Are you looking at this? Pepe, you get here before all of us, and you come from near my way. Nothing early?
I got nothing. There was a lot of lightning, but, I mean, that was it. But, I mean, once I got to Dallas, there was nothing. But, yeah, 10, 15 minutes of being up here in the studio. TVs were going out, and you could hear the thunder, lightning, obviously, and then rain was hit the window.
That lightning was cool, man. That was awesome. Just nonstop.
Yeah. I wait for it to hit something. I'm like, hopefully not my house.
Yeah.
Or the tree in the backyard, and then breaks my window.
Yeah. That's right.
Dude, every time when it was storming yesterday, Mackenzie and I just looked at each other and we were like, just please don't hit the tree. Every time it thunders and lightning's down,
Payne's going to cut that awesome tree down that got TP'd in his neighborhood or the similar type tree just to go ahead and get rid of the lightning possibility and damage. We start, of course, with what happened on Friday. I'll never forget where I was. LAX, when I look up, we're checking the bags in, and I tell the fellas, here's the update notification that Micah Parsons has requested his trade. And props to Diana Russini. She was all over it. She said this could be coming, and then bam, it just dropped. So let's kind of just go through Micah's statement and his explanation, and just stop and start me wherever you want. Unfortunately, because I thought he did a tremendous job of detailing his side of things. Unfortunately, I no longer want to be here. I no longer want to be held to closed door negotiations without my agent present. He starts off with a big, huge swing with the right fist to Jerry's face, saying all that stuff that has happened, that deal that we supposedly agreed to, you tricked me and you trapped me. NFLPA? Gonna want to have a look into that. I no longer want shots taken at me for getting injured while laying it on the line for the organization, our fans, and my teammates. Jerry Jones saying, hey, just because we sign him doesn't mean he'll be here. Dak missed games. He could get hit by a car. I no longer want narratives created and spread to the media about me. I had purposely stayed quiet in hopes of getting something done, which he had. But since there's a confusion out there, let me clear some things up for you. I had my agent reach out to the Cowboys last offseason after my third year in hopes of getting a deal done early. A lot of us were saying he's eligible. Why not just go ahead and get Micah Parsons done? They let us all know we got Dak, CD, in line ahead. I no longer want shots. I already read that part. Unfortunately, the team did not want to start any negotiations at that point. I was okay with that. Didn't complain and focused on the season. That is true. He did not sit there and raise a stink last year when it was becoming clear and obvious he was not going to get his.
He did pout a little in minicamp. There was a little bit of that publicly that he did do.
After the season, I did not want to start any negotiations at that point. I was okay and didn't complain. After the year, I told my agent once again to let the team know we were open to negotiate when they met at the combine. We were there in Indianapolis. My agent informed me I should wait for other deals to get done because the price would only go up. But I didn't care and wanted to secure myself as a Cowboy long term. The Cowboys side of things is that Micah and his agent told them at the combine, we're going to be last. We're going to wait for TJ Watt. We're going to wait for the other pass rushers. We're going to wait for Trey Hendrickson. We are going to be at the end so that we match or leapfrog them. I think that was the understanding that the Cowboys had that I told you about last week multiple times. Micah continues. This was before any of the other pass rusher deals got done. I knew I would be leaving money on the table, but again, I was okay with getting it done earlier. Again, radio silence as far as my extension. In March, which Jerry alluded to over and over and over and over again over the weekend when he responded, I met with Mr. Jones to talk about leadership. Somehow the conversation turned into him talking contract with me. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, who is a very respected name. Bobby, you've always talked about how plugged in he is with the Cowboys. He had an article come out that discussed the pattern of kind of tricking players into a meeting, luring them into a sit down to talk about this subject, when really, according to Charles and some other agents, the real motive and subject is to talk contract without the agent. Yes, I engage in a back and forth in regards to what I wanted from my deal, Micah says, but at no point did I believe this was supposed to be a formal negotiation, and I informed Mr. Jones afterwards my agent would reach out thinking this would get things done. But when my agent reached out and spoke to their cap guy, he was told the deal was pretty much already done. My agent, of course, told him that was not the case and reached out to Steven. Again, the team decided to go silent. At that point, we decided we would let them reach out when they wanted to talk. Yet still, not a call, email, or text to my agent about starting anything. Up to today, Friday, the team had not had a single conversation with my agent about a deal. Jerry did not know his name, supposedly. Not one demand has been made by us about money, years, anything else. Still, I stayed quiet, but after repeated shots at myself and all the narratives, I've made a tough decision. I no longer want to play for the Dallas Cowboys, and I submitted that request to Steven Jones personally. That is Micah Parsons on Friday, blowing up the sports world.
Man, it is just business as usual. Around here, it's always something. There's always something in the news. Always something to talk about.
Yeah, this isn't quite usual for them.
Not quite usual, but you get the point. It's like, hey, it's a circus. It is a circus. I do not think, you know, Jerry does. I think Jerry does a lot of his deals throughout his life when the deals aren't like being thought of in a formal setting. Walking, talking, making deals. And that's just not the way that it happens or supposed to happen in the National Football League. There's rules against that. And he still tries to circumvent those rules and go with the, hey, let's just talk. We're just talking. You know, we're just talking here. And you know, how many deals come on a paper napkin?
Yeah. A lot for him.
Jay-Z and Dez.
Just Jay-Z and Dez. It's the Parcells agreement.
Yeah.
The Parcells wrote on the napkin, Jerry gets to go on vacation with Bill's significant other or whatever it is. That is a perfect way to describe him, is a napkin negotiator. That's what he does. He does these things on cocktail napkins. He does them with a handshake. He does them with a, you know, that Jerry grin and the little wink. And I mean, that's the way he does things. He gets things done this way. It's just, it's really hard to sit up there during the opening press conference and talk about Jerry's not even involved in this, guys. Like, Jerry doesn't even talk to these things. Jerry doesn't get these deals done. We do. And Jerry just kind of, you know, he comes in if he has to.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, because this sounded like you guys didn't even get the first thing started except for Jerry. So if this is to be believed, either you got to say one or two things. Either A, the initial negotiation was basically made by Jerry away from the agent, which runs counter to what you've publicly said. Or B, you're telling the whole world Mike is a liar. Those are the two options that they have.
I'm glad Micah did it. I support this playing out publicly. Someone had to put that front office on blast. They have done all the things that Micah talked about while Micah was actually silent. The digs, the insults, no pun intended, with Trayvon, the stories, the slander, the public humiliation, the disrespect. And finally, someone had the stones and the backbone, and I believe the future leverage and current leverage, to call them on it. So I'm glad that their little off-season negotiating ploy finally blew up on social media in front of the entire world. Would I consider Micah Parsons' trade proposals? Yes, I would. Does Micah Parsons has behind the scene issues that we told you about a couple of years ago? Yes, he does. But in this instance, I take his side, and I'm glad that he called them out. That's just me. The disrespect is just overflowing. It happened with Lamb. It happened with Zeke. It happened with Dak. And Micah said, screw this. I have had enough, and I don't want to play in this environment and for these individuals anymore. 877-881-1053, Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. So I am Team Micah with what he did on Twitter.
I respect the tactic because nobody else has done it. The only thing you might say is nobody else has done it and they all ended up getting paid. So, like, ultimately, if what you want to have done is get paid by this organization. This may work. We just don't know because nobody's done it. This may end up with you getting traded. If this is a play, which I think it is. I think Micah wants to be here. I think Micah wants to get paid by this football team. And I don't think Micah genuinely wants to get traded. But he's going, all right, this is, I'll do this myself. I'll make my play. This is very unique that typically everybody else that they've negotiated with in the past and other things like that has had a, let's not do that. Let's not play his game necessarily. We're going to play our game. We're going to do things our way. This is the very first time in a very long time that Jerry has negotiated against somebody who says, I'll play it your way, and I'll play it better than you. I'll do the same thing.
Jerry always says, sorry, Chop, don't let your money get mad. He violated his own rule, like he did with Randy Gregory, like he has done with instances in the past.
Cooper, yeah.
Jerry Jones is hurt that he thought he and Micah had the agreement in March. He's hurt that Micah then had the final approval or sign off with the agent, checks and balances, go over this, and they reneged or went back on their word in Jerry's eyes. And this is Jerry's way of punishing him for that. That's what I believe has happened. You told me, we had a handshake, you looked me in the eye, Micah, and I don't blame him for this. This is a separate subject and conversation we're going to have. Went to the agent. There's a reason you hire him and get representation. Said, I can't go ahead and sign off on what we talked about. And this is Jerry Jones punishing Micah and Mulligetta.
You know,
in the only way he really can, besides a franchise tag.
You know, Bobby said, like, you know, the other guys did it, you know, but they got the deal. They didn't go down this road, right? You know, they didn't go down this road. I think what Micah signed up for here is a 3-year deal. This year, a tag and a tag. Jerry's not going to trade him.
No.
He's not going to succumb to that. And he's not going to publicly, I don't think, take such a beating and then just sign him anyway. Like, now I think what he's signed up for is two tags.
Well, the second tag, we have to run the numbers. It's ridiculously high.
It's high. It's not as high as what he wants. So he would generally, if you get the second
Jerry thinks
tech,
he would save money, I think.
So basically, it would end up being, in all likelihood with some of the projections, the second tag, especially depending on if the league says he's a linebacker instead of an edge rusher, however they do it, it could end up being 35 on the second tag.
Well, then Jerry has to weigh, and this is the unfortunate part of being a Cowboy fan, because he may not care as much as the rest of us do. He's got to weigh how that story is going to negatively impact his team and his locker room and Brian Schottenheimer's new culture. If I was running it, if it was my football team, I would place that with the highest importance and emphasis. If I had to give up a few million dollars to give him over market value to make it 44, 45, I'm doing it so that we don't have this lingering over our heads for the next 1, 2, or 3 seasons, because there's no way possible that it can help you in terms of winning. This storyline will just be worse than this lightning that we had this morning while driving in. That's me. What about Jerry? He didn't duck. He didn't run. Some people would say, of course not. This is exactly what he wants. The Jerry Jones response to the Micah trade request. We'll play it all for you next on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. We are back home in the Metroplex with coverage of the Micah Parsons trade request on your official home of America's team. In case you did not know, after Micah made the request on Friday, reporters like Nick Harris, John Machota recorded the crowd reaction to Jerry Jones walking on the field Saturday. So the We Want Micah chants taking place. Jerry Jones, I don't know whether this was part of the show in the theatrics, walks up to the reporters after practice, which Micah showed up to.
Oh, yeah. He's getting fined.
If he stays in the back, is that $50,000 a day? If he doesn't walk out there on that field?
I don't think so, technically. I think as long as he's present. I don't know that he has to walk out there. As they pointed out, though, that was the first time he'd walked out there without his jersey. He'd walked out there in just a pullover.
It's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
He only has the pullover on. Like, it's probably a very, very small thing, but I would just think a day after doing what he did, he would not walk out there on the field. It's like, no, I literally cannot physically be in your same presence. I don't want to be around you guys sitting upstairs in that tower. And he's right there.
Which, I mean, you could say maybe that makes this whole thing just for show, just you know, honestly, window, just talk.
Netflix is coming out?
Yeah. I mean, or it could be, you know, he wanted to get out there and, you know, pander to the crowd or see how the crowd reacted, or maybe he just can't stay away from football.
Be around his teammates.
It's also a great play. It lets the other guys focus on football, because as they pointed out, they said that there was, I think Calvin Watkins said it, that there was not a single player who talked to media on Saturday because nobody was waiting for them. They stood out there talking to Jerry, and they waited for Micah, and all the players were able to just walk off the field without getting stopped because media was all taken up by those two.
Wow. Wanye Thomas, Overshown, CeeDee Lamb, all showing their support. Trayvon Diggs changing his profile picture on social media to Micah. Lamb, of course, coming out and saying, why do we have to go through all this? Just pay the man what he is owed. But the entire world was waiting for Jerry Jones' response. We're going to stop and start this wherever you guys want, and let us know what you're thinking right now on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. This is Jerry answering.
Jerry, are you considering trading Micah Parsons?
Well, let's put it like this. Surely you guys have been around this stuff and know to recognize negotiation talk, that type of thing. And so that's where I put that.
So are you considering it?
I'm not. At this, the facts are that that's like anything else. I think the world of Micah, and that's just part of negotiation.
Would you ever consider trading Micah?
Again, I don't really place that with any real seriousness. You know, Micah's got a bad back. That's like being traded.
When do you start negotiations with
it? All right,
stop.
This is so great.
That was a good line. That was.
He's got a bad back.
You're going to trade Micah? Micah's also got a bad back.
A bad
I know
back,
he requested a trade, but he's also got a bad back.
And he went to it multiple times. multiple times making the joke about Micah's wink, wink injury. And again is his trigger word in all this. Okay?
Again.
Judge the way he says again. We know this after doing this interview for a long time. Well, when it's about to get a little combative and the tone and the volume of the word again is kind of how you are going to judge Jerry. Let's continue.
When do you start negotiations with his people, Jerry?
Again, I've started negotiations in March.
With his agent?
I said I started negotiation in March.
All right, stop. And hey, Todd Archer, bust your balls all the time behind the scenes, Bobby. I hope you gave it back to him, or at least if you have not, tell him, hey, you want me to check you like Jerry Jones just did? This is Archer. Very respected, obviously, friend of the show.
Again.
This is Todd going at Jerry. He's not answering his question, or Todd's not able to get it out. And it's, I think, about three times, and Jerry has had enough.
Again, I've started negotiations in March.
With his agent?
I said I started negotiation in March, and I've negotiated double handfuls of contracts just like I did in March.
He thought it was again.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I started that in March. I visited with him in negotiation.
My question was, the meeting was about leadership, not about his contract.
It's my answer. I was negotiating in March.
Is it good to see him still at practice?
All right, that tells me Mike is 100% right. The way he's handling that, he won't even answer dressed like. But what was the meeting supposed to be about? Well, I started. Okay, then Mike is right.
Jerry,
I side with it. However, Mike is describing how the meeting went, I believe that's probably.
Or did Jerry just not like being interrupted?
He cut off like every single one of his questions, and he goes, "Okay, but with his, I started
again,
in March
again.
Okay, but with I started in March. It's like kind of plug in your ears. Like, just answer
again.
Like listen to what he said. He's clearly asking you about something different." He cannot like getting interrupted, but I mean, he clearly was not answering. You're getting cut off for a reason. You're not just going to talk and move on and do that.
Jerry doesn't see a difference between talking to Micah and talking to the agent.
Oh, I think he sees a massive difference. I think he sees that there's no point in ever talking to the agent.
No. I'm saying because it's not technically negotiation unless an agent's present.
Right.
Jerry doesn't see it. He doesn't see it differently. He goes, if I'm talking to Micah, I'm negotiating the deal.
I think that's the only way he views that it's a negotiation. I think he views the agents like, the agent's got to run everything by the player anyway. Why would I talk to the agent?
Yeah.
I mean, that's his philosophy with football and ownership, general manager.
Well, he's doing it for a reason. Let's cut the BS. He thinks he can get one over on the player. I understand why he's doing it. Again, I think it violates CBA rules.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a while back. Florio is all over that type of stuff. He's doing it for a reason. Because he's going to lose more in talking to David Mulugeta, who was just recently voted number one agent, I think, on the Forbes list. So he's trying to take advantage of just talking with the player one-on-one. That's 1,000% fact. Now, Micah may have messed up here and said, I'm a businessman. Everyone says how smart I am. Everyone says what a great, savvy businessman I am. I can go in here and handle this on my own. And that was a mistake. And something you can't come back from, at least right now, if you are Jerry Jones. Let's continue.
Is it good to see him still at practice, though, even though he made that demand, but he's still out here?
Well, I wish the back would get better.
You wish the back would get better. So the back is not...
Again, I just said I wish the back would get better so we could not have a hurt back.
You talk about 30 years of these types of scenarios. Is there really nothing different about this one from the others?
Well, it's just that you've seen it so often, and you've seen it with other clubs. You go through the process. It's a highly sensitive time. When you're guaranteeing somebody almost $200 million, that's sensitive stuff.
All right, couple things in here. My God, this is riveting radio. It sucks, though, as if you're a Cowboys fan. I think it's riveting because it's just – answering right there with the burner turned as high as possible. Some reporters thought he gave away the offer in that by saying, you're talking about almost $200 million. I think Dawson had tweeted me on this and said, sounds for about six for 190. Some said, okay, it's obviously five for 200. That would be 40 a year. I was thinking maybe it was four for 200. And let's start off at 50 a year, but that's Jerry. At the very, very end, he goes, I reached more than you guys know, but he did throw out that figure 200 million, Bob.
I mean, if you go 45 a year, if you go 45 a year and say 5 years, that's five for 225. If you guarantee the first 4 years of that contract, basically that's 180. So that would be upwards of 200. That to me said, because he's not just talking about it's $200 million value. Like he's telling you, we're talking about guaranteeing almost $200 million.
Yeah.
And the guarantees, it's almost never a fully guaranteed deal. Unless Jerry was talking about fully guaranteeing a contract and said, we'll give you 45 and for, like you said, or four for 50 a year and we'll guarantee the whole thing. Like that's the kind of thing that they'd be talking about.
Jerry's strategy to me in all this, the main thing he wanted to get accomplished was, guys, this is negotiation. I've seen this 1,000 times. This ain't nothing. He was calm. He was cool for the most part. He got a little bit irritated at Archer and using the word again, but he wanted to let it be known. I've done this a million times. Okay, there's nothing to lose sleep over if you are a Dallas Cowboy fan. Let's start with part two of Jerry answering the media.
Jerry, what do you think of all the fans chatting his name and kind of supporting him and hearing them all screaming out there?
It was just so much louder last year walking off this field with Lamb.
Stop. I had to play that. He did it again. That right there would have been my final straw to demand the trade. What he did, and Todd Archer is the only one that wrote about it, and I don't think he got talked about enough. I really don't. All last week, I asked on social media, when does a Cowboy star ever ask out? When does someone ever say, trade me? That disrespect, and he answered that? I wish you could see his face. He answered that with an edge. He wanted to be very sharp and very intentional about the way he insulted Micah again. Give me that, just that last sentence, Pepe, of it was just so much louder for CD.
It was just so much louder last year walking off this field with Lamb.
Dude, that's so personal. So freaking personal. And I thought that got buried last week.
If it just to make it real world for us, if I was, let's say like my contract was coming up and people are like, which there are people who are like, oh gosh, you know, there are people who have told you guys at the station they want Bobby back. And they're like, oh, they asked for Bassick back a lot louder. And I'd be like, I quit. That's what I'm doing. I'm quitting. Like, you're not going to talk like that in public. But we're not doing that.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's the, where it's,
yes,
we can all view it as posturing. The reality is that might be a real request. That might be a genuine request of I want out of here.
It could be.
I mean, there's been a lot of disrespect here, and it's something that I think you're dealing with a very emotional player, too. You're dealing with somebody who I think it's going to be very easy for him to take it a certain way and not be happy with it.
Back to the drama at 7. We have a record amount of 6 a.m. Tolos to start off the Monday edition for an offseason here on your home of the Cowboys, but we are also your home of the Texas Rangers. Was Bobby proven right over the weekend when it came to the Rangers trade moves, and how did the new guys do as they barely avoid getting swept by the Mariners? Diamond Cavs on your home of the Rangers with the weekend recap is next.
Including the walk-off home run a couple of days ago. And look out. Here's a blast deep out into right center field. And that one's gone. Wow. J.P. Crawford erupting here in this series with some really big hits. This one is a two-run home run. His ninth shot of the year. And the Mariners go back in front. It's now 5-3.
And they would eventually beat the Rangers 5-4 and take 3 of 4 on this radio station. Good morning, Metroplex. Back to Jerry versus Micah at 7 o'clock. And we're going to take your phone calls at 7:20 here on Sean and RJ. We are back in DFW with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Be careful driving out there. I was watching this game. Jacob DeGrom, sloppy, not sharp, not having his best stuff. I go downstairs to start dinner. I go back up, game over. I texted the guys, what the hell happened? There were 9 runs scored in this game. Bobby, what was the game time?
221.
221 for a 5-4 game? I was like, what happened? Well, what happened to the Rangers is they almost got swept.
They did. They it was a much-needed win on Saturday, but look, this is... This is back-to-back starts for Jake where he has not been sharp. I mean, he has allowed 10 runs in his last 10 and a third innings. In the previous six starts, he allowed 10 runs total. Six starts.
Wow.
So we're looking at, you know, his two, you know, maybe worst outings of the year back-to-back. And I didn't notice a velocity dip. I didn't notice one on the TV and on the gun that they have up there. But it, you know, when you get to this point of the year, and he is being stretched now longer than he has been stretched since 2019, 2018 even. I mean, we are talking about a guy who has thrown more innings than he has in years. You know, maybe he is getting a little bit worn down. That's just the reality of it. It's going to happen to every pitcher. I mean, every pitcher goes through that kind of dead arm period. Does it make sense for Jake DeGrom to give up five runs in back-to-back starts?
Yeah, and he was 98 basically with the fastball all day yesterday.
Now, it could be flat. It could be 98 and flat, which is no good. But.
Well, they've talked about it before. Your velocity being up or down sometimes is a bad indicator. Your arm can be, you're overcompensating. You're just trying to throw the ball as hard as you can. Yeah, for three home runs, three walks, like it's not a DeGrom-looking start.
First time he's allowed three home runs or more in a game since September of 2022. He had that streak. It still may be alive of giving up home runs in five straight games, which had not happened in his career.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, it's obviously a guy who's still really, really good, but is not going to just be lights out every time like he was 5-6 years ago when he steps out there. It's just older pitcher who's been through major surgeries, and this is kind of the natural progression. But yeah, it was a disappointing weekend overall because it's you just felt like, okay, you are behind Seattle. You're definitively behind Seattle, it feels like.
Well, as a team.
Yeah, as a team. In terms of like not just in the standings, like in terms of like your quality of baseball team, you are behind them legitimately. That's a better baseball team.
I mean, they made good moves at the deadline, you know, and obviously Naylor and Suarez, and they were a good team to begin with. You know, they were a good team to begin with, but this is still a dangerous baseball team. They just gotta find a way to get into the postseason, but they're also not as dangerous if Jake is compromised.
Which, you know, Naylor and Suarez have not done. They have done anything yet.
It's been such a small sample, but no, they haven't done anything yet. I'm sure they will. But yeah, like if Jake is going to pitch in a less than DeGrom-y way, then this whole thing gets flipped on its head.
4.5 back in the West, 2 games back in the wild card. You are 2-5 in your last 7. Fortunately, the Astros are 2-8 in their last 10. Evan Carter, back spasms, unlikely to play, and the IL is a consideration, according to Evan Grant. And let's take a look at how the new guys performed. Merrill Kelly was on the mound yesterday. I shanked him because I started talking smack to Bobby, saying right here in your face, Bob, as the Rangers number 3 was going to shut them out along the way. Bam, 2 runs given up. So overall, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned, 6 strikeouts for Merrill Kelly. What did you think of him and his stuff, Chop?
This is what he's like Bobby had talked about, right? He is not a bat missing guy. Now his strikeouts were up. I mean that was a good strikeout number, and they kept his pitch count pretty low.
His ERA is up too. That's what I know.
I mean, look,
a 3.18.
It was like 3.44 for that game. So
getting into the 6th and only allowing 2 runs, you're gonna take that. You're going to take that in just a general game. If you're the number 3 starter in a playoff series and you get into the 6th inning and you only allow 2 runs, you will take that from your number 3 starter. Like, that's the whole point.
Maton, 2 games already with 2 innings, did not give up any runs, a walk, 2 strikeouts. And then Danny Colom, am I saying that correctly? Colom, yeah. 2 games, 2 innings. Gave up 1 hit, no earned, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. So there you go with the new pitchers for the Rangers.
Yeah, but what were the 2 things you left this weekend probably talking about, though? Man, it'd be nice to have a closer. Man, it'd be nice to have another bat.
And Garcia proved that in one of these games. Man, the one that they actually won, right?
Yeah, it was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Where Rosarena hit the bomb to tie just it.
A missile.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's... It can be really tough. Like, Garcia's been good throughout the whole year. and then you get him into the closer role. This has happened a couple different times. Like Chris Martin stepped into the closer role for a little bit, and then he had some issues. And Luke Jackson had his issues in the closer role. And now Garcia has these issues. It's just, it's well, really frustrating.
They just don't have one. They just don't have a closer. Like, that's the reality of it. Like, they're going to have to deal with this the rest of the year. And look, granted, in 23, I mean, who was on? I mean, who the closer was during the regular season kind of switched up in the playoffs. Like Leclerc got a lot of big games down the stretch in the postseason. Spores on the mound at the very end, right? It wasn't like they were just they didn't have like Joe Nathan out there every week.
Yeah, I mean, I it was a lot of Leclerc. I kind of felt like, okay, Leclerc was, even though he hadn't been the save, like hadn't been the closer for the majority of the year, like he had been your closer before.
He so had. I didn't feel like it was that odd. Go into the year thinking, oh my God, we got Jose Leclerc.
And now you're going to get the Yankees starting tonight in Arlington, 6:30 pregame, first pitch 7 o'clock. The Yankees are third in the East. They're 4.5 back. You want an absolute guarantee. They actually lead the American League in run differential, and they're third in their division. You want an absolute guarantee every week on Twitter? Fire Boone.
Yeah.
Will trend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Fire Boone will trend.
Not our Boone. Our Boone's great.
Yes, Aaron. They've lost 3 in a row, 4-6 in their last 10.
Yeah, they got swept by the Marlins, who have the best record in the sport over the last 45 games. I did not know that until this morning.
And won 5 in a row and 8-2 in their last 10.
Yeah, but yeah, they just got swept by the Marlins on the road, and now they come here. They have, I think Judge comes off on Tuesday off the injured list. But, you know, the Rangers, they don't get the third DeGrom in this series, and you do face Fried and Rodon for New York. So you get their two best pitchers, which kind
of
stinks.
They're calling it the baseball version of Fire Festival.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. This was the Speedway Classic at Bristol Motor Speedway. They were going to set a record.
This is a really, really cool setup.
Oh, it's very cool.
This is a really good idea.
It looks really cool from an aerial setup.
Yes.
When people started sharing photos of where they were sitting, it was like, that is not cool to actually sit in, I don't know.
Yeah, you're a mile away. You know, flying in on Friday, we flew over Texas Motor Speedway, and I looked down. I was like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Like just imagine like a baseball game there. But this place is much smaller than TMS. This is like, you could play. They play football games here at Bristol, but it was very, very cool. But it had a bit of a problem, bit of a snag. Now you can't do anything about the weather. They obviously did not bring grounds crew because that was a disaster of an infield that they had for the one grand inning on Saturday. They finished it up yesterday out there. Cheeseless nachos, bunless hot dogs. There was a 2-hour rain delay. They ran out of food before the first pitch. Ran out of beer. They had nothing. Wow. They had it was such a disaster. 85,000 plus, I think it was like 91,000, they said was the official attendance. And at a NASCAR event, you could bring a cooler.
Yeah.
Right? You could bring your own cooler. And the Bristol and like Major League Baseball was like, no, we're not going to do that. You know, you use the concessions. I don't know that they have concessions. Like, because they're not used to this. They're used to people bringing their own coolers.
Which they did. They did flip on that for Sunday. Sunday, they did allow people to bring food in because they were like, yeah, we don't have any to give you now.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
now.
If you need to eat, if you need sustenance, you can bring your own. But it's a cool idea. I mean, I like these kind of games that they do. But, yeah, there's got to be better preparation to just actually execute the damn thing than MLB had here.
Franco LaFranco, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Also the number to call for our Nelly ticket giveaway all week long, starting with the 720 commercial-free expressway.
All right, Diamond Cavs continue here on 105.3 The Fan. What do you think is the fallout for the Emmanuel Clase, Luis Ortiz situation? Now, those are the gamblers, right? Those are the Cleveland Guardian players. Guards.
Clase should be banned for life.
Yeah, well, maybe. There you go. That's
their
a good
interpreters
one.
Should go to jail, maybe.
Their interpreters should go to jail. Sure, whatever you say. Like is that an Ipe?
That's an Ipe joke.
Yes, it is. Very nice. Well, how about the Ohio governor is trying to ban prop bets? No. Instead of just blaming the players and telling the players, hey, how about you just don't do this? He wants to ban prop bets.
They're a very RJ Choppy-like legislation. It wasn't your fault.
No.
It was the rules' fault.
It's the rules. Listen, you don't want me to speed? Don't let my car go that fast. Yeah. That's what this is. You know, it's not my fault. The cars. Okay? The cars should not have 700 horsepower.
Why would you ban prop bets?
Because they're fun. And people govern.
Well, you may as well just get rid of gambling for the state.
Amen. People love to get rid of fun. They're the fun police. That's what this happens. Like, no. How about just tell the players, hey, guys, don't bet on games.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Don't fall down in 1-0 counts when you're our ninth inning closer.
I can see Major League Baseball wanting to get rid of them.
I can see that.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, MLB can't necessarily. Like it's not their thing. But if they're maybe leaning on somebody a little bit and just going, like, legislatively, like, hey, why don't you do something about these prop bets? Because this is something that is most in their control and the hardest thing for us to kind of track.
Well, when you say baseball like to get rid of it, I wonder how much they weigh, how much more interest gambling and prop bets. Like, I love it. No, I have to watch anyway because we're the home of the Rangers. Oh my God, it's so fun. It is so fun to have a first inning pitching prop bet.
Yes.
Or is this player going to get two hits? Or is this guy going to have over under 1.5 RBs eye, as Corey Majors would say? So I wonder how many more people it's brought to baseball.
They speculate about 30% for football. Brings 30% of the football viewership is gambling, or at least historically, has been gambling based. Let's just say 30% in baseball. Like, football could deal with a 30% loss in viewership.
Yeah.
If baseball adds 30 freaking percent.
Oh, yeah.
That's a boom.
Why, Jerry Jones says you shouldn't lose any sleep over Micah. Are you believing him? That's next on the Home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ.